And of course, that's the like argument of the Lord, because the Lord would be king of your life and reign in your heart and life. But if not, you're going to end up with some form of a dictator, and you will be a slave to someone or something. You got to realize that. Everybody is the servant of something or someone. There is no neutrality. The drug addict, the alcoholic, the materialist, the lover of the dollar, and the things of this world, they are servants of those things. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us as we bring to you the message of God's Word today. And we are bringing the message, part two of bringing the King back. Bringing him back into your heart. That, of course, is King Jesus. The context, the history is David. He was exiled across the Jordan. His people had banished him during the reign of Absalom. But Absalom is dead, and David wants to come back to reign over the hearts of his people. And that is a great message in the gospel, because the Lord Jesus wants to reign in the hearts of his people. And sometimes we allow the world, material things, dollar and fears and follies, get in the way. And the Lord wants to come back into your heart to reign in you. But firstly, we have a message and song, and then we'll get straight to the message.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace.
These Judahites were undecided. They had been radical times politically. Saul's kingship was a failure. David had conquered, but his sons revolted. Absalom was now dead. And they were in limbo. They were in a vacuum. What to do? So they were undecided. And of course, people can get into that state as well. Oh, I used to love going to the prayer meetings. I loved Bible study. I loved to be witnessing for the Lord Jesus. It was the joy of my heart in those years. But it's not the same now. I just don't have that now. And doubts come in, and things have rocked the boat. You've bounced back and forth. You've got into a place where you're just undecided. Would the Lord really come and be king of my life again? Perhaps they were just silent. Silent. Why are ye the last to speak to bring the king back? The others had spoken. Judah had remained silent. And many people think that their silence can do no harm. You know, if things just not rosy with you, say nothing. Try that in your marriage. Won't work. Won't work. Try that in the workplace. Won't work. You'll end up fired. And in the Christian life, when things are not well and you remain silent, well, that's a deeper offense. That's a further offense. And your silence becomes like a steel door without a handle on it, and the Lord's on the outside, and you are showing no interest in opening the door and inviting the Lord in. Now, I use that illustration because of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. That's the Lord speaking. You are called to open the door of your heart. Will you do that today? And the King will come back and reign again and live again within your heart. Now, point number three. Let me rehearse my points now just to make sure I get this nice and clear. Number one, the king wants to come back. It's his idea. He's initiating this. He's sending the messengers. Invite Judah to come back. Many others have already answered the question and said to the king, come back, come back. And of course, around the world, people have answered this. Even people in third world countries where the gospel has never been known until recently, like Nepal, you have Hindus and Buddhists who have left false religion to come to faith in Christ. They've answered the request. They've already entered in. In parts of Africa, like Nigeria, Muslims coming to Christ. And yet you are the last to speak to bring the king back. And then we move now to verse 12. The Lord calls you his brethren. Here's his strong argument. And he says here, ye are my brethren. Ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? Now this was true. David was speaking to his own people of his own tribe. They all go away back to the same father, Judah. They're of the same kinship. They dwelt together. They reigned together. And now this is his strong argument. Now, how would our David, the Lord Jesus, speak this to you and to me? Well, of course, he became man. He took our flesh. He is of our bone and our nature. And therefore, he can speak to us that I came to redeem you, to call you, to be your Savior. I am of your bone and your flesh. Now, the Lord Jesus can say that to all the sons of Adam. Are you a son of Adam? Yes or no? There's only one answer to that. You don't need to be a deep theologian to answer that one. We're all sons of Adam. He was the first man. And of course, it's because of him that we have a sin nature. It's because of him that we are in this world, a world of the curse. But our Lord Jesus is the second Adam. And he is made of our nature to be our Redeemer and our Savior. And the Lord uses that argument. He uses that. Why are ye the last to invite me back when I took your nature? I became as you to be reconciled and to be your Savior. Why are you the last to bring the king back? Now, I spoke about Nepalese converts to Christianity, and thousands of them. Our denomination is just a segment of what God has done in that nation in the last 15 years. Africa, Nigeria in particular, there are thousands of born-again Christians in Nigeria. Now, I don't have any Free Presbyterians, but they're still Christians. You can be a Christian without being a Free Presbyterian. And then I also have to say, you can be a Free Presbyterian and not be a Christian. You could go to a Free Presbyterian meeting or church and not be saved. I pondered the testimony of one of our ministers who actually was born in Australia, and when he was in high school, he was an atheist. He just drank in all the evolutionary atheism, and suddenly God converted him. God converted him. And he went to our Bible college in Northern Ireland, and instead of going back to Australia, he's now one of our ministers back there with an Australian accent preaching to Irish people. That takes a bit of getting used to. But you think of that testimony, and yet you, who have grown up in the church, you've had the Bible all your life, you could never say that you were once an atheist, and yet you are the last to bring the king back, the last to be reconciled to the Lord. Now, another reason, moving to verse 13, I'm just going down the passage here to dig out the invitations that are right here and the pleas of David to be king. And he's making out a point here in verse 13 of whose subject will you become? If you do not invite me to be your king, who's going to reign over your heart and your life? And verse 13, he said, "And say ye to me, to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab." Now, these two characters, Joab, he had been the chief captain of the army. And Amasa, he was the would-be junta dictator. And David's argument, as he pleaded with his own Judahites, "Take me back as your king, that if I don't be your king, you're going to end up with either Joab or Amasa. And you're going to be under the heel of cruel men, ruthless men. You're going to serve them. Please take me back and let me reign over your life and heart." And of course, that's the like argument of the Lord, because the Lord would be king of your life and reign in your heart and life. But if not, you're going to end up with some form of a dictator, and you will be a slave to someone or something. You got to realize that. Everybody is the servant of something or someone. There is no neutrality. The drug addict, the alcoholic, the materialist, the lover of the dollar, and the things of this world, they are servants of those things. And then, of course, other religions, you end up with not even the true God. And so if you be not a Christian, if you do not come to Christ, if you do not have him as the king of your life, who will be your ruler? Maybe I should ask the question, who rules you now? The very fact that you're silent and not asking the king back to be the ruler of your life, who is in his place? What is it that you're serving that you are refusing to invite the king back? And for this, of course, the Lord Jesus came into the world that he might be, that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And so here's an argument. Here's a strong argument in verse 13 that if you do not have the Lord, something, someone will rule over your life. And it will not go well. It will not lead you to heaven. It will not give you salvation. It will not give you peace. It will not fulfill the gnawing hunger of your heart. It will be an empty life. So, why are ye the last to invite the king back? Now, I have in closing just a few persuasions here. And firstly, I want to say there is no greater joy for a Christian to have the Lord as the king of our lives. You know that hymn we sing, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. But the joy is ours. It's a blessed thing to have Christ as your king, to have him guide and rule, and to be living in his fellowship each day. Also, a Christian who is born of God, you can never be content outside the Savior. Now, that might overlap with the other reigning in your life, but it is a reality. And if you can only confess, I'm miserable, being banished from my king or having my king banished from my heart, it's just misery. This is not living. This is not what Christianity is. This is emptiness. But to have the Lord in your heart, he can restore that fullness again. And also let me remind you, you only have to speak the word. Why are ye the last to speak? Hosea, if you remember, we looked up that text, Hosea 14, 1 and 2. Take with you words and return unto the Lord. That's all you have to do is speak the word. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. I want to have you as the king of my life. And if you're redeemed by the blood of Christ, then he claims you. He owns you. You're not your own. You're bought. You're bought with price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body. He ought to be the king of your life. Now, of course, if you're not saved, but recognize that you are a creature of God's creation, you own and admit God's goodness to you today. What a great thing that he invites you to be under his kingship and rule. What a mercy, what goodness, what grace he comes to you. The Lord forgives. And that pardoning spirit that you see in David here, bring me back. I know you've revolted. I know you've rebelled and you followed Absalom. And now you ought to be judged. But just bring me back. That's the mercy. And as we know in the gospel, if you seek the Lord, he will never cast you out. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a great gospel invitation to both sinner and to Christian. How do I get Jesus back into my life? That's the bottom line question. You have nothing to do but accept his plea to turn. You're almost decided today. Maybe bad company keeps you back. Maybe the devil keeping you from coming back. Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit at this very moment will strive with you and give you such strong desire to make Christ king of your life and have him reign your life that you will bow now and say, Lord, King of my life, I crown thee now. Will you bow in prayer? Let's everyone bow in prayer. And I ask anyone who the Lord has addressed today to make that prayer. King of my life, I crown thee now.
Just pray, Lord, restore me. Bring me back, come back into my heart. Live in new power in me. Get me back to prayer and back to the Word, back to fellowship and the joy of living for Thee. Just make that prayer. And may the Holy Spirit strive. Oh God, we thank Thee today that we have such a gracious Savior. We know that we grieve Thee by times and we need Thee afresh. O Lord, hear the cries of your people today. Bless your people. And answer prayer. Amen.
It's time for another one of our pastoral talks. It's hard to find you in such pain and with such discouraging news. This path which the Lord is asking you to walk must be one of the hardest things you have ever had to deal with, and no doubt is very depressing. It's amazing how our spirits are so closely aligned with our general health. Dietitians keep telling us how the right vitamins help to maintain bodily health and good mood. Well, it works the other way too. Our peace and contentment of soul can work for our healing. So today I want to read with you one of the greatest promises you will find in all the Bible. They are the words of the Lord Jesus to weary souls who needed hope and joy. In these words there is a sense of wonder, both at the person who could dare to utter them and at the power of grace that is offered to the neediest and weakest soul. You will find these words in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." These words are like water to a thirsty soul, or as a precious ointment to any troubled heart. The Lord acknowledges the burdens that souls bear in this world. He sees our burdens as heavy, too heavy for our weak frames. He knows that life is filled with labor that wears us down. This is what endears us to the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He understands us. He is compassionate to our needs. The work of a nurse is more than to deliver medicine. The healing work of good nursing is through understanding that leads to compassionate care. We find all of these things in the heart of our Lord Jesus. This gospel promise is a window into the heart of our Lord. He spoke directly, lest we should miss the point, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." This is the one and only time when the Lord spoke of what is in his own heart. Those who know him best find the Lord to be full of love, full of compassion, and of tender mercy. All who ever came to Jesus discovered to their delight the wonder of his grace toward them. Whether it was the woman at the well who had a sinful life, the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair out of love as she opened the alabaster box of ointment, or the woman taken in adultery, every one of them was dealt with anonymously, kindly, and set free from their paths of sin. And you will too, if you will obey his voice, calling you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You need to know that the Lord is not a hard taskmaster. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." This is the image of oxen pulling a cart, with each ox of equal size sharing the load. To be yoked to Christ, however, is not equality of load-bearing, in his almighty nature and strength, the Lord takes the load for us. It is not bondage, but perfect liberty. It is like a flea joined to the power of an elephant. It is like a kite tied to a jumbo jet. The omnipotent Lord is calling us to surrender our lives to him, to know his mighty power in our souls. If only we take him as Lord of our life, he will carry the burden. He will be our strength. It is by this spiritual union with Christ that believers enjoy the power of God in their souls. Our lives become bound up in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. With this in mind, the Apostle Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Just in case any who heard the Lord's call to take this yoke upon them missed the whole point of a newfound liberty in Christ, the Lord thoughtfully ended this address in the clearest terms. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let those words ring on in your mind and heart, for they are true, and they are the testimony of every born-again Christian. Jesus gives us liberty. Jesus sets men free from the slavery of sin and the misery of life in this world. For the world takes us into the far country, spends our purity, ruins our bodies, and robs our souls. The world takes and takes and takes until we have nothing left to give, and we fall into the grave, a lost, damned soul. Jesus came into the world to give life, and that more abundantly. He fills sinners with his own life, and fits them to live for God in this world, and then one day to live with God in the world to come. Because his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. To have new life in Christ is true freedom. I trust that you will enter into that freedom today by giving your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.